Hey, if you're a Pokemon, would you eat yourself? It's a simple question. I know I would.
Yes, I'm gonna move out.
That's a good answer.
So I may like take that offline and do some work on it, you know, because that's, you know, just mine.
But okay, Mark.
Yeah.
No, just now, leave it. Leave it and leave everything afterwards.
The music's in, and we're talking about podcast stuff. Hey guys, it's Boss Bro Radio.
Hey.
What's up?
I'm Griff Hoffman. You're listening to Boss Bro Radio. With me is Jeff Brewer.
Hey.
And James Scherer.
How's it hanging, y'all?
And James Scherer 2.
And I'm James Scherer 3.
What? Wait, James Scherer 2 is named James Scherer 3?
No, it's the four of us now. We're multiplying.
We are Legion.
When somebody speaks
actually,
your name,
I'm no longer Jeff Brewer. I'm actually now James Scherer.
Yep.
We all are. We are all James Scherer.
We're all part of the hive mind. We are all James Scherer, and none of us are James Scherer.
Exactly. I'm following.
So, it's been a while since we did one of these bad boys. I don't remember the last time it happened.
Last
2014?
Time, it was right when the Switch came out, and guess what? We talked about Nintendo, and you know what we're going to talk about a lot now? Nintendo.
How the tables have turned. How the tea tables have been upended.
Oh.
Ooh.
How... is there any iconic Pokemon tables?
I got nothing.
Yeah. Well, if you don't, then it must not exist. So, we've got a lot of catching up to do. Since last time we talked, we didn't really do any discussion of games we were playing. So I think let's just, you know... They say don't start the show with a show sharter.
I shart every show, so...
Don't start the show with a show sharter.
I'm all about breaking all the rules with Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, let's start this show by talking about Pokemon, because that's what we're all here about.
We're talking
about Pokemon.
Totes. I want to hear Jamie's hot takes on Pokemon.
It's cool when you get him in the ball.
Yeah!
And then you save him for later in your personal computer.
The audience
PC.
Members should know that Jamie buys every entry of Pokemon, but is not a fan of the games,
Although,
and invariably dislikes all of them.
No, this one's good. This one's good. Can I tell you why?
Yes,
you
please.
You don't move on a grid, and I hate moving on a grid, and also the environments are real and beautiful, unlike the last game where it was like kind of like an in-between. Like, here's an environment, but it's not really an environment. It's not actually like... enhancing your involvement in this universe, because it's still just like an isometric thing and there's nothing interesting about the art style, and also you're still moving on a grid, so it feels weirdly constraining, like you're not actually exploring the world. But now it's like, hey, how about some dynamic camera angles, and like you can actually go where you want to go. So
can
that's cool.
Can I stop you for a second and tell you the real reason why Pokemon Sun and Moon is the greatest Pokemon ever created on God's green earth?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because people wanna fuck Pokemon.
Wait, what?
That's always been the case.
People
though.
Wanna fuck Pokemon. Not in real life. In Pokemon Land, game I'm playing, people
want
to get it on with Pokemon.
Are you talking about your mom and Meowth?
No,
I am
talking about demonstrable evidence of people
wanting to bone Pokemon.
Down and dirty with Pokemon.
Is it the usual suspects? Is it Gardevoir?
No. Okay, so... this is brilliant, because as I was like waiting for you guys for the podcast and just cutting audio together, I was just playing some battles and I walked into a country club and there is a Machamp there surrounded by two women who are known as the golf couple, and they're saying like, oh, your muscles are so big. Oh, Mr. Machamp, will you come out and hold my bags for me on the course? Oh, they're so glistening in the sun. You look so incredible, Machamp. And then it's, okay, so then the prompt is like, do you want to step in? He looks kind of uncomfortable. And then the next piece of dialogue says, this will result in a fight. So you go and you battle these two women, and they're like, you're spoiling all our fun. Gosh. And they're like, we were just having a good time with him. And they walk away, and then he's like, I'm a man in a Pokemon costume.
Wait, really?
Yes. And he's like, why'd you ruin my game? This is my game. I'm a man in a Pokemon costume. This lady's gonna get on me.
That's wonderful on so many levels.
Yeah. So
I'm a guy in a Pokemon costume, and it turns out that this particular Pokemon has human genitalia. This is totally normal.
Although I think he has that belt, which is like part of his anatomy. Is that belt his dick?
I don't know. We'll have to wait for Pokemon Star to figure that out.
Oh God!
So that is my jokey answer. But the other thing that goes hand in hand is just the amount of descriptions of people eating Pokemon in this game. Like in every freaking Pokedex entry is like this Pokemon is known for its delicious meat that's growing off its delicious tail. Everybody wants to take its tail and eat it. It's so delicious.
Gross.
This piece of this Pokemon is delicious. And you're like, wait, so everybody is just constant, like, we made it? It's been 15 years, guys. We're all eating Pokemon at this point. The inhabitants of this world.
Apparently, Slowpoke tails have always been a delicacy.
That is
apparently
crazy.
That's like a thing.
People are eating, like Paris mushrooms. People are, they're juicing the sweat off Pokemon.
Oh, Jesus.
They're drinking Pokemon sweat. Pokari sweat, that's what we drank.
Is anyone against this? Like the lady who's like, don't overwork your Pokemon, please, I guess, maybe. I'm dainty. Is she against all this?
You mean
no.
The lady who wants to have sex with the Pokemon? Or which lady are you talking about?
The lady with the Pokemon in the gym bag. She's like, don't hurt the Pokemon.
Oh, that little
punk
face?
Yeah. No, so, she's whatever.
She's like a hypocrite.
She's like she's a big old chunk of slice of anime put into this game.
I was going to say, you know what else is in that bag other than the little Pokemon? It's just pound after pound of Slowpoke tails.
This is her smuggling operation that she's running. This is the long con. She's finally going to get to that stupid runes and just offload all her wares.
I was going to say, most of the Pokedex entries I've seen, and maybe this is a Sun and Moon thing, are about Pokemon eating each other. Which is also, like, kind of disturbing.
Pokemon eating each other, what was it? Wishy-washy? That one has a description about how delicious it is and how it's, like, over-farmed.
Man. That is fascinating.
It's so good!
You guys...
I'll let you guys keep talking, because, like, Jeff, do you have any funny jokes about Pokemon you want to get out here?
Other than Meowth banging your mom. Not really, no.
Yeah.
I have one.
What are you talking about? Meowth is just Kevin Spacey's character from, was it, Nine Lives? This is the situation.
Which we have joked is in-universe with Frank Underwood as well.
Yeah.
They are the same person.
I have one from Shannon. So you know how when you get a new Pokemon and it says registered in rainbow colors?
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Are we going here?
Yep. Okay. I'll actually stop since that's enough. You already get it. The joke has already been made. The joke makes it
more soft. like poke imam.
Yes, exactly. Oh man.
I do love the action of getting new Pokemon. They really turn shit. Like the stuff that's so great about Japanese games is like the ritual. And it's funny because in some ways this game is super streamlined, but in some ways it introduces like additional little bits of like kind of forced slowdown, like through how every time you get a new Pokemon, it's like registered. Like they're like little things that enhance the ritual of catching Pokemon,
mm-hmm.
which I think they tend to work. I mean, they can be a little frustrating when you're pressed for time, but it's like everything feels more like a ceremony. Like when you get a new guy, it's like you didn't just get a new guy. You got like a portrait that's slapped down onto the screen and giant rainbow letters come across.
Right.
And like when you evolve someone, it used to be when you evolved a guy, you just evolved him. But now when you evolve him, it registers him in the Pokedex and it shows you the whole kit and caboodle.
Just so like catching one, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a whole process that really adds like a whole other layer of kind of, I don't know, this feeling of accomplishment and a feeling of ritual, which I think a lot of Japanese games that have been around for this long get right. Like I think Dragon Quest does a good job with ritual as well.
And a lot of games are afraid to change, and I'm really happy that Pokemon, I think this has been the biggest step in a good direction for Pokemon. Like, you know, X and Y were awesome, but this is so profound in the things it does differently to me, mm-hmm. as a Pokemon novice, Pokemon vacationer.
What do you see that's profoundly different, Griffin?
Okay, so the biggest thing is the obvious structure, or the structure of the game. You know, you're no longer doing the black and white, go to a gym, beat the scrubs that are just hanging around there, and then beat the big guy, and then you get your next, like, measured portion of experience that you can use to command Pokemon, and your HM bullcrap, and then you move on to the next one. It's, I guess, inherently, if you strip away all the layers, yes, it's still roadblocks that are leading you down the road of you need to complete a certain amount of battles, but it's a new and much more compelling window dressing in front of it, where it's not just the gym, the scrubs in the gym. It's, you know, multifaceted. You could be going into a cave and doing a fetch quest. You could be answering trivia questions. You could be doing, like, a photo hunt. All these things that still battling is incorporated, but, you know, it has been so much better realized. You know, it's not a sliding dumb block puzzle or, you know, looking in trash bins or something like that anymore. It really seems like it's come into its own and been elevated.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. And I think, you know, to kind of expand upon that, Pokemon has a story now.
And it's like that people want to eat them.
Yep. No, there's like an actual, like, tale being told. Like, it's not like a great tale, but there is a story.
Yeah.
And it weirds me out. And I've never encountered, like, a coherent story in Pokemon.
Yeah. It weirded you out in a bad way?
No, it's actually a great thing. It adds to the feeling of polish. I mean, I think it's just it's fascinating to see like a cutscene to open the game,
right?
Of like establishing mystery, and I'm like, this is strange.
This is
like,
the first one that I've played that I feel like has the amount of polish that is like worthy of a true Nintendo. It's not a Nintendo first party game, but it feels almost like a Nintendo first party game in that. I don't know. Everything seems so. There's no sharp edges. Everything's rounded off, and everything's really tight. And I don't know. It just feels very. For someone who isn't a huge fan, I feel like the combination of the fit and finish, the spit polish on it, and the changes to the movement and environments, just overall, just for the general feel of the game, just changes it drastically.
I would agree with that. Yeah, I think I do have some minor issues, which I'll bring up, but I think that. Just overall, it is such a polished product, and it's clear that they put attention to areas they just never have touched before, like the aforementioned story piece. I think that that having these cutscenes, having a driving narrative is completely new for Pokemon. Usually it's just like, go get your badges, buddy. Run into some characters that barely are a thing and have, like, two lines to establish them.
Your A-line storyline is, your A-side of the story is, you know, young man or young person goes to conquer all the gyms in this continent. And then the B-story is, like, weird, you know, crazy anime people are going to blow up the world by summoning this, you know, god Pokemon. And then that gets resolved incredibly quickly and unceremoniously, and then you just continue and finish your quest. This seems like they have been integrated a lot better. It's still bananas bonkers crazy when they introduced the C line in this game, but I am hoping that everything will work out in the end.
Jeff, how many times have you beat it already?
I beat it all the time, but no, Griffin is far farther than I am.
I got Ultra Balls.
Yeah, I do. Well, I got Ultra Balls, but you get those early.
I got Ultra Balls.
I haven't done the first trial yet. Griffin's...
Holy gosh, man. Island. You haven't done the first trial?
I'm just taking it slow. You're smelling the roses.
Oh my goodness, man. I already got, like... I don't even know. I've lost track of how many trials I've completed.
I got a Mega Ball.
A Mega... There's, that's not
sweet,
a
thing.
I got a Super Ball.
Nope, not a thing either.
Got a shiny ball?
Nope.
What's the one after the Pokeball?
Great Ball.
That's the one that I have. I got one of those.
Goodness, Great Balls.
Balls of Fire. I also did the thing where I was like, okay, someone told me that I have to grind in this game, so I'll grind. So literally the second that you're allowed to be fighting, I'm fighting. And I'm, like, leveling up each Pokemon individually.
No, you don't need to do
that. Yep, and then, like, 5 minutes later, after I spent half an hour doing that, someone was like, here's something that lets all the Pokemon level up at once. And I was like, aww.
Also, you don't really need to grind in this game at all.
Okay. Good to know.
I mean, no.
Maybe once you get farther, it gets harder.
You don't. I mean, you don't need to grind in, like, in the classic sense of like, oh, I just got to Saffron City and nothing is good against Psychic, so I have to just spend 8 hours, you know, beefing this piece of crap up. They don't have that. But this, I was going to say, this game is actually more challenging than any other Pokemon game that I've played.
That's good. I'm
because of
that.
Some of the new elements that they've included, like the double battles, the totem. The totem Pokemons are definitely a challenge if you don't know what type, or I guess I shouldn't say that, if you don't care what type you're going to go against, you're like, I'll just make this happen. that can be somewhat trying.
I like to try to mix up my teams for every challenge and not just bring like the curb stomping teams that can just destroy everyone. So I'm hopeful that it'll be tough.
I'm on the third island now, so at this point, the trials that I went through, they've started to become more challenging, and I am starting to use more items during them. Where I'm like, ooh. I might actually like lose my advantage here, and I will get crushed. So I have to be more strategic.
Are Team Skull still hilarious and literally a parody of teams?
Yes,
excellent. I'm so happy to hear that.
So that was the other thing I was going to say is I love the world that you're in. Like Jamie, I think you may have alluded to this too, and I love this Alola region, which is. You know, it's very Hawaiian influenced. I've never been there, but it's, you know, very, you know. Stereotypically Hawaiian in what I would imagine like an Asian Hawaiian experience would be like. and on top of that, they, you know, I was joking before about like, oh, everybody eats Pokemons and wants to get busy with Pokemons, but unlike any game before, Pokemon are just like in the environments doing stuff in a way that you don't really see. Like, there's a bunch of Pokemon cooking in this kitchen, and you can go talk to them all. Or there's, you know, these Pokemon that are carrying girders around, doing work. Or these Pokemon are just, like, curious. Or these Pokemon are in a... I don't know. It's like they've never been so realized in the world, like, in an actual digital manifestation, instead of just, oh, I walked into the grass, now there's the Pokemon. There's Pokemon just chilling in places, doing stuff.
Yeah, and I think they've taken that definitely farther than they have ever before. I think it's something that they flirted with, starting with probably like Generation 3, like having the Machamp movers or whatever.
Yeah.
But they've definitely fleshed it out in a way that is beyond what they've ever achieved before, so.
Yeah.
What's the definitely Snapchat cool. Spectacles integration?
Spectacles?
Yeah, the Snapchat.
Is that a thing?
The Snapchat
Spectacles. Is that what the kids are using?
You don't know about Snapchat Spectacles?
Is this where you take a picture of your Machamp thong and you send it to ladies?
Wait, is Spectacles where you put your face in there and then it puts stuff on it?
I can't. Who are you, old fogies?
I have Snapchat primarily so that Griffin's wife and one other person can send me things.
Wait a minute.
Completely wrong.
Google Snapchat Spectacles.
My wife. Done.
I made a joke that everyone else who listens to this will get, but you guys don't because you're old.
Is it the thing where you put your face in there and it does?
I'm not gonna tell you what it is. You should know what it is.
Snapchat. Can I put my shiny balls into my Snapchat face slap? What was it called?
Yes.
Yikak Snapchat.
I think that's what it's for. Really.
Snapchat.
Snupchip.
You're going to love my nuts. I have heard about these things. Yeah, I've heard about these things.
Thank God. Jesus Christ.
Oh, fucking, man.
I was about to resign.
What they do, though. They just take pictures, right?
Yeah, that's it.
That's dumb.
So the other thing that is incredible about this game is the complete movement away from stupid HMs. And now you have...
Yes, I agree.
You have ride Pokemon that do those jobs for you. And you're like, wow, you know, be great flying. Okay, I press a button, and then a Charizard picks me up. That's it.
It's wonderful. We
don't
Pokemon
need
to
waste a slot.
The jobs we don't want to.
Yeah.
Also, it's not fully fleshed out, but I love the Pokemon Snap minigame. I played the second they let you do it, like the first time when you go to that city. I played like half an hour of it, just taking pictures of the same.
Oh, yeah,
isn't
yeah.
The Pikachu just chilling, sitting there?
Yeah, he's, like, just sitting there. But then if you keep going back in, you get, like, different ones.
And the more pictures you take, the better zoom you get.
Exactly.
And then you can see all those Pokemon edges.
God. I was going to say, can you see the Machamp if you get real close?
You don't need to get real close for that.
you need to zoom out as far as you can.
Oh, yeah.
To capture all that.
As someone who's really anal retentive, the fact that the FPS in the battles in X and Y would drop really, really low for no reason sometimes really pissed me off. That doesn't seem to happen in this game, except when you're doing the photo mode.
Yeah, the photo mode is a hot mess, yeah. But everything else seems to run really well.
Have you had double battles with trainers yet?
No.
Then you either. Prepare for some frame rate drop.
Oh, damn. Aww.
It. Well, maybe because feel... I'm running the old, the Gen 1.
No, I had heard 3DS. That too, Griffin. Okay. I heard that too.
Well, report in when you guys get there and see.
I was going to say, I have experienced the same thing, Jamie, of just like fluidity, which is really, really nice. And it definitely makes a big difference in kind of the feel. Yeah. Especially since most of the time in the game is spent in battles.
Sure.
And I definitely think that the animations on the moves are really cool. I think the Pokemon are more expressive than ever. Mm-hmm. Despite it not being a huge visual upgrade in terms of like the models themselves, the actual action of the game feels better.
And yeah, yep. I mean, overall, taken as a package, it's night and day for me between this and X and Y. In terms
it's
of
like sun and moon.
Is that it? Yeah, I was saying, is that like a self-aware joke there, James?
Nope, it was not.
So did you guys all go with Moon, or are you any
sun? I got sun.
Sun.
I got sun.
Okay, so yep. Do you know, I don't know if there's like a type difference that you can get in each game, but what I do know is the reason why I went with Moon is because it flips the day. Like, it changes the day by 12 hours. So when I get home and I play the game from 6 to, you know, 10 o'clock at night, then it's like I'm playing from 6 to 10 in the morning in the game. So it's light
you can
out.
Get the daytime Pokemans.
I like playing in the light.
I got sun because the monkey's better. My monkey. All right.
Wait, sure. The monkey?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The lion thing?
No.
He's talking about, like, the rugby monkey versus, like, the inspirational Randy Savage
Hassanian
monkey.
Versus Oranguru, yeah.
I think that the Randy Savage monkey is superior, but to each their own.
The problem with Oranguru is he has a shitty ability.
Or, sorry, it's an ultimate warrior of monkey. It also speaks English, by the way.
Does it really?
It speaks Pokemon English.
Amazing.
I ran into one said, "You can do it." And it wasn't a man dressed as a Pokemon. This game...
or was it?
Who knows anymore? What is the difference between a man or a Pokemon?
If you prick us, do we not bleed? That's so good. I'm really excited. Do you guys have any standouts of the new Pokemans that you really like?
Definitely. I'm really pumped about the starters. Like, I am so happy with Rowlet and its route that it's went. It is
Do you
a fun
have
Pokemon
Decidueye
play.
Yet?
Yes, I am fully in there. And the upgrade, the Z-Stone that you get for that specific, for Decidueye is amazing. It is such a cool move.
How do you feel about Z-moves, Griff? Because I haven't gotten them yet, and neither has Jamie. Although you did get the Mega Balls.
I mean, it's pretty much like the same thing as the Mega Evolution, where it's a novelty and it's neato, but I mean it's not taking this game to the next level or anything. I could definitely see some potential there for them releasing a bunch of stones as time goes on to, you know, kind of balance the game or change things up or keep people interested, kind of like they've done with the Snorlax and whatnot, but they're fine.
I just really want to catch a Kamari Ronso. That's the Pokemon that I'm looking forward to most to catching.
Wait, was that the Final Fantasy? Did you even play Final Fantasy X?
No. I want to catch a Kamari Ronso. He's in this game. I want to catch. Oh, I'm sorry. I mean Red 13. Red 13. I want to catch a Red 13.
Which one are you talking about?
Oh no. That's okay. I'm getting confused. I want to catch a. Freya?
Aquina.
A Freya? Aquina.
No. What other animal Final Fantasy characters do you know?
Oh, God.
I've never been more proud of you for remembering the names of Final Fantasy characters in my life.
I want to do the cat? Sif?
Ketchy?
Ketchy. Sephiroth.
Sephiroth.
No, that's too level. That's too high. You can only get that through a Wander trade.
Oh, okay. Greninja?
I already got it.
Okay.
Salvaria
Bless.
All about her. Only in bikini, though.
Shadow's dog. Waiting for that one.
Griffin, yeah. You don't know the name Interceptor?
No, man. I failed.
You know what the worst part about Final Fantasy VI is? Grid-based movement.
Well, it's okay.
But Jamie will never play.
Well, I thought you were going to say woman lead character.
That too.
That kind of grid doesn't bother me. It's literally when it's like a cube that is the size of the sprite, and that's how you move. That just kills me. But like,
so literally, the sprite has to be self-contained within the movement area.
Yeah. Like,
so the fact that the characters in Final Fantasy VI are slightly taller than the movement area that they move in is okay for you.
Totally.
So okay. Final Fantasy Tactics is an abomination.
No,
Final Fantasy Tactics is okay. Final Fantasy IV, though, where the characters do fit within their squares, is unacceptable.
Well, the only version of that I played was the 3DS reimagined.
Which is, you mean the DS one?
Yep.
Which is fine. This is amazing. I love your rules,
Kamari Ronso.
I'm just so impressed that you came up with Ronso.
I totally Googled it.
Oh, man.
I thought you just had the strategy guide sitting there right next to you. Just cracked that prima right open.
A stack of primas. It's my reading material.
Smell that. Smell that 2002.
What do you think I read when I'm making a dookie?
Just need those hot tips. I'm beating you, Yevon. I'll tell you what I'm not a huge fan of, though.
Let's get to the negatives.
I think the Alolan forms don't add a lot.
What is that?
I think that you're right.
The forms of the original Pokemon, Jamie? The ones that are, like, altered because of the Alolan region?
I don't know what that means. What are you talking about?
So there's like a Meowth that's dark.
Okay.
Yeah.
That looks like the dumbest thing ever.
Although I am using the dark Meowth because I want to get the ability that it turns into.
Groven? Josh Groban? No, what is the... Heathcliff? Looks like freaking Heathcliff.
No, he looks like Garfield when he evolves.
Yeah, he looks like Heathcliff.
Well, whatever. One or the other. But yeah, most of them are really shitty, and there aren't very many of them.
Yeah, I think that's marketing hype that maybe went in the wrong direction, where they're like, we may not have enough Pokemon to really show off everything in this game. Check out these new forms. You know what's hot right now? Pokemon Go, but these look different. Show it to your mom.
So. I don't know why there was like 10 of them, if even. It's like, it seems so paltry. Like, I know there weren't a ton of Mega Evolutions in Generation 6, but there were a lot added in.
Do you have any idea how much time and effort it took to make the movement non-grid based? They literally had to go back to the... This is the first game to use quantum computing, so they could make that move.
All of Game Freak's office was just full of grid paper. Just a bunch of people struggling to draw on grid paper and make non-grids.
Sorry, I cut you off, Griff.
Oh, I was just going to say that I think that that what little Alolan forms do exist, they're cool, and they fit within the world, and they're neat, and I agree. I wish there was more of them.
Rattata kind of blows ass.
Fat Rattata's pretty adorable.
He's cute, but he just, like, doesn't offer anything.
Did he ever to begin with, though? Now he's chubbier.
Yeah, but he's, like, the same Pokemon.
Well, they are. It's still the same Pokemon.
From a lore perspective,
somebody should be
fired. They share a lot of DNA. Well, what I actually like about the Persian, though, even though it looks really dumb, is that it gets a new ability when it evolves that changes the way it plays significantly because it halves damage from physical attacks.
Cool. Okay.
Anyway,
still looks like a dingus.
Yeah, it does. But I'm still going to use it, though. I love the dinguses.
That's true, I guess you do. You were really into that Klefki thing. And the Duskeldork. What's his name? Doubledore?
Duskeldork?
Duskeldork? What are you talking about?
What? You know that Pokemon?
Ninjask?
No. That Which, one's cool.
What does it look like?
It looks like somebody's turd, but it's like a bug. And
oh, Stunfisk!
No, it's not it.
Not Stunfisk?
No. That's a Star Wars character, isn't it? Stunfisk from the prequels, you know, everybody's favorite Jedi Council member is Stunkisk.
Stunfisk looks like a big old pile of mud.
I don't think that's it. Anyway, the best thing about this game, from a superficial, like, stupid perspective, is the fashion. Those clothes, those digs, my god.
They Holy are a big crap. Step up from Gen 6, that's for sure.
I would pay real life money to wear a muck themed tank top. The one that I found is I will not take that clothing off ever. It is the coolest clothing I'm excited. Ever.
I've been to one clothing store since I started the game.
Clearly, it's unfortunate you can't buy pants, like full pants. Everything is like cutoffs, but, you know, I guess I'll live with it. Maybe that'll be some DLC or something.
Yeah, I've literally been to one store, but I'm already far more impressed by the inventory than what X and Y had to offer.
Yeah. The clothing is
so
incredible.
It's got that going for it.
And the haircuts are sweet. I got a haircut. I didn't even know what it was. Now it's awesome.
I can do my anime brown skin white hair lady.
Nice.
Doing it right. But yeah, I'm glad you guys are both liking it, because I'm having a great time with it, too. It's pretty good.
Don't forget about the Ultra Beasts. Just saying.
Have you gotten to them yet, Griffin?
I don't know. Have I?
Whoa.
Right.
They're weird. I don't like the Ultra Beasts because I don't like having, like, 8 legendaries. Like, that's not cool to me.
Yeah. We'll see how it pans out. I don't want to talk too much about it, because spoilers.
Spoilers.
So, any other thoughts on Pokemons? You guys both went with Sun, huh? And you got that dumb Pokemon monkey thing?
Yeah.
Is there any other exclusives for that?
I feel like there was
the
something
dog,
about
the
Sun.
Dog evolves into something different, if I recall.
Oh, maybe.
The little, wait, you mean the dog?
What's the dog?
Oh, yeah. Yes, the dog does evolve into something different. Rockruff turns into the midday form.
Oh, that thing sucks. I thought you just, it was based on what time of day it evolves.
No, you can only get, well, you can get both, but you can only get the other form at the very end of the game.
Oh.
And, yeah, only one form is available per version.
Well, the one that I have is awesome.
Okay. I mean, I just didn't like the moves very much that one had. I felt like they were not... Because they're like, oh, the signature move of, like, the midday form is, like, this cool priority move, and then the signature move of the other one is counter.
Yep.
And you're like, okay.
Totally doesn't work.
Yeah, no, not at all. Damn. Well, I mean, counter as a move, it works if you use it right. It only works on physical attacks, though.
Right, it's really bad. But yeah, really bad. The design for that Pokemon is neato.
It looks cool, I just would never use it. There was some other stuff that was exclusive. I like the Alolan Ninetales better than... Sandslash. A couple other exclusives.
Okay.
Also, I'm trying really hard to figure out what Pokemon you were talking about, Griffin. Was it Dragalge?
No, it was like Dusklask, Duskface, Duskboy, Duskfriend.
Dusklops?
Sundusk. No. Sunky. Funkadunk. Hunkadunk.
What did it.
Did
what
I
it
say
look
Pokemon's?
Like?
It looked like a big ant or something. Did you say
oh, Durant?
No.
Durant?
No, not Durant.
Kevin Durant?
No. Kevin Durant.
I give up.
It
anyway,
doesn't matter.
Jamie, any final Pokemon thoughts?
I'm surprised by how quickly it sucked me in, given that I really don't care about Pokemon in general. And I was like, I'll just play this a little bit. I'll see what's up. And I was captivated by that stupid anime intro cutscene and the stupid anime mystery girl, and I'm excited to play more.
Dunsparce,
there it is. That's the one. I was so close.
Dunsparce
with what I was saying. Check
You're
the tape.
The right track.
Check the tape.
All right. Cool. I think we did Pokemon justice for now.
I'm sure
we'll have more to say as Jamie and I get farther.
Stay tuned for Pokemon Justice, the new Pokemon game. It's a Pokemon attorney. It's Detective Pikachu, but then after he catches the crook, he has to take him to Pokemon Justice. It's like Night Court, but with Pokemon.
I was going to say, who is in charge of Pokemon Court? Is it an Alakazam?
Yeah. You nailed it.
Just
right there.
Perfect.
That's it.
Awesome. Or is it a Mr. Mime?
Mr. Mime.
No, this ain't no Clown Court.
If only there were a kangaroo Pokemon so I could make a joke about it. But alas. So Griffin, I feel like you've played a lot of other games in the intervening days and weeks since we last did this.
Yep.
Based on this list that I'm looking at. Want to talk about some of them?
Well, I think that I owe a description about Pokemon Sun, Moon. You know, that game. Let's talk about Pokemon. No, I'm sorry. I misspoke. Mario Paint Color Splash. Last we talked, it was like, you guys were like, I hear it's poopy. And
no, I heard it was good.
Like, no, it's really good.
I was the one who heard it was poopy from Dan Reichert.
Right. Well, it's great. Everybody should, if you own a Wii U, it's a definite worthwhile play. It is a little long in the tooth like any Mario RPG-ish game is, and it suffers from its problems, but it is by no means the misstep that was Sticker Star. Like, the comparison against Sticker Star is unfair. Yes, it has its flaws with the battle system of how much you have to, like, interact, how many things you have to press and tap and pick before you can make your attacks. But it's still really fun playing it and doing it. And
I feel like the complaint of Sticker Star wasn't so much that it was things you had to press and touch and tap. It was more like, there's no reason to have a battle ever.
Yeah, and that's not the case in this. Like, the battles are fun. They don't feel like they're a waste of your time. As you level up, or as you get, like, more stars and whatnot, and you level up, you can essentially, like, you know, skip easy battles with an instant win. So that's built in there if you need to go back. For completionist people that are like, I have to get every paint splotch. Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be some frustration because, you know, the game doesn't make it easy. But I had a great time playing it. The music is phenomenal.
Is it
funny? They remix a bunch of tracks. Is it funny?
It looked like it had a lot of Treehouse memes.
Yeah.
Just everywhere.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of, like, modern Mario kind of quips. Huey is localized really well. Yeah, yes, it's funny. It's chuckly, you know. It's good.
Do you feel like you know Mario better than ever?
I feel like I know the Toads better than ever.
No! Why the goddamn Toads? I remember some hilarious NeoGAF thread where people talked about getting... If Nintendo was gearing up to get rid of Toad. It was incredible.
That sounds exactly like a NeoGAF thread.
How come my NeoGAF thing hasn't been confirmed yet? I've been waiting so long.
Actually, that sounds... The better NeoGAF thread would be, rumor, Nintendo gearing up to get rid of Toad.
To get rid of Toad, yes. Emily Rogers.
One fatal flaw with Toad ruined the entire game.
Jamie, the reason your NeoGAF account is not approved yet is because the way they do it is they wait a really, really long time, and then they approve a lot of accounts in batches.
Huh, okay.
So I signed up, like, I don't know, a solid 3 to 6 months before I was approved.
Jesus.
It's very weird.
Yeah, I signed up in 2010. I forgot my password, so now it's attached to my Gmail email, and I'll never be able to get in there again. But I'd never want to comment on that shitty message board, so why does it matter?
Yeah, I'm there a lot, but I have no desire to join in the fray, typically.
Yeah, I mean, I want the possibility.
Yeah, I have posted a few times. It usually doesn't serve me well. So... Color Splash. So, Griffin, so it's good. So you like it.
Yeah, I think at this point, the best thing I can say for it is if you're sitting at home and you have a Wii U and you're like, man, I don't want to play Pokemon. I want another Nintendo game that is worthwhile.
This is a great sell.
You know, Mario Paint is...
This is a sell targeted at one Jeffrey Brewer.
Jeff Brewer. No, it's very good. I don't think it's for everybody by any means, but if you like
fans of the genre,
well,
has its quirks.
It's a mixed bag.
Yeah. Griffin, I have a question for you. In the spirit of Thanksgiving and the ensuing consumer craziness, what Black Friday price must this game be for me to buy it?
For you, $59.99.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like,
you need to pay homage to. Yeah, you got it's gonna be marked up.
Crazy consumer. What is a good Black Friday price to pay for this?
How much would I pay for Mario Paint Color Splash? I would shell out $25 if I was doing some Friday night, you know, shopping, or I guess Thursday night shopping. I would grab it for $25.
Okay,
having already played through, like, you know, a third of the game.
Okay, fair enough. I will keep an eye on those deals.
Yeah.
All right.
Hot right. deals. So I'll just knock a couple of these other ones out that I can do quickly here. Sure. So I also played the Street Fighter V campaign, which finally came out. I think this was a bit of a drought in the last couple of months or the last 2 months or so. And I was like, well, I've been meaning to do this since the game came out. They put the patch out that had the campaign. It was like 7 gigs or something. I had to download it. And boy, I probably remembered more about this when I wrote those words into this document. At this point, I don't.
So dumb. Really good and worth the purchase.
I mean, I love. I'm hearing. Don't get me wrong. I love playing Street Fighter, but the campaign was, it was not what they had promised, which is a bit of a bummer. It still
what
doesn't
drives
reach that, like,
Ryu?
Mortal Kombat.
What was that, Jamie?
What drives Ryu?
No. Waterfalls. his hobbies are. Calligraphy, punching waterfalls, and meat buns.
Okay.
And by meat buns, I mean like butts.
Did they add Babalities or no?
I haven't found it yet.
All right.
But there was rumor on the dark net that Babalities were in this game.
That game's not doing very well.
What's that?
Street Fighter V is not doing very well.
No. No, a lot of great games aren't doing very well.
Such as...
Yeah, you guys, Jamie, should we talk a little bit about Titanfall 2, the second best first-person shooter that came out this year?
Wait, can I make a quick joke? Have you seen Titanfall 2? Apparently not, based on the NPD numbers. All right. Carry on.
I love...
I can't anymore, I just... I can't.
You've lost the will.
No.
Griff, what did you think?
Loved it. Absolutely loved it.
Yeah, it's incredible.
I encountered one spoiler, which I think I can share with both of you, because you both played the entire campaign, right?
Yep. Beat it.
Griff, go ahead, sorry.
I guess I would just say, if there is anybody, in fact, listening to this who cares about the story of Titanfall 2, maybe be careful. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I'll go ahead and say it. And this, don't spoil more for me, guys, but I just saw the words, press middle mouse to time travel.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which just sounds wonderful.
But don't play it with everything the mouse. About that. Play it with a controller. I feel like you should play it with a controller, because it's about movement, and it just felt right playing it with a controller. I don't think I would have enjoyed it as much if I played it on PC.
Yeah. Having not played PC, I felt like the console was a great spot for it.
Yeah.
So do you guys feel like this game, like, the strength of it is the campaign? Have you jumped into multiplayer and had a great time with it? Tell me what it does right.
Both.
I haven't jumped into the multiplayer at all, but as you guys know, I played a ton of Titanfall 1 on the PC, and that was all multiplayer. And I'm assuming it's more or less the same.
You don't remember the rich backstory that was established?
Oh, you mean remember... the one that was delivered in, like, audio logs while I played multiplayer with
the
other
one
people?
That carries into this game, and you interact with one of the generals of the last game, who is the main villain in this game?
I just remembered the word IMC, and that was enough to get me through the story. I thought the story was fine. I mean, it's not like a nuanced, layered story with a message, but it's fun. It's stupid. It fits the gameplay perfectly. I thought the campaign, just on the whole, was masterfully crafted. Like. Mm-hmm. It's not too long. It's not too short. The story beats are interspersed, like, exactly perfectly. Just enough to give you drive and, like, literally no longer.
The story is a better tool. The story better serves the pacing than it does, like, oh, I care about this world that I'm inhabiting. It's just like, this is the carrot that keeps me moving along to the next beat that is better than the last.
Oh, definitely, and they build the relationship between the main character Cooper and BT just enough so that you really care when you know BT's in trouble. Spoiler alert: they dangle your robot friend in front of you as like a he's that what do they call it when they do that? They honeypot you. They honeypot you with the robot friend, and you don't want him to get hurt. That's like the That's like the motivation.
Yeah, there's a couple times that happens. You're right.
Yeah, there's no surprise there. They actually do it pretty well. And every level is unique. So it's not like they have a mechanic and then you master that mechanic, and then in the next level, you use that mechanic that you've already mastered in addition to a new mechanic that's introduced. It's just each level has its own thing, and you exercise that new mechanic in that level, and then that's it. You don't use it again, which I love.
Jamie, did you ever get to a point when you're like, I can't fight these people anymore. The best thing for me to do is just Mirror's Edge style out traverse them.
Oh,
did
yeah.
you ever have that? Okay, good. Because I was like, maybe I'm just bad at this game. And there was a section, and maybe this is what the section of the story was trying to convey, where I'm like, I shouldn't be shooting dudes. I need to just book it and do work on this level.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a couple moments like that. I think it's pretty clear when they want you to do that, which is, you know, credit to them in terms of level design and pushing the story mm-hmm. forward and pushing you through the level at the right pace. I can't say enough good things about that level. There's obviously the time traveling level. We're not spoiling anything by saying that. That one has its own like.
It's just one level, the time travel level.
We can talk more about this offline or later.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. We talk about.
But there's
best moments ever.
So that has its moments, but I actually my personal favorite level in the entire game is actually the one before that, which really doesn't have anything out of the ordinary. It just has amazing platforming sequences in a game yep. that you wouldn't expect to have, like, actually fabulous platforming sequences that are reminiscent of Mirror's Edge more so than the new Mirror's Edge game is. Mm-hmm. And just a lot of fun.
That's delightful, since I hated the new Mirror's Edge game.
Well, the only time I played it was at your house, and it was terrible.
It's funny you bring that up, because when I first started playing Titanfall 2, for the first like level and a half, until you really got into the groove with the mech and the fun level design, so that like the one your favorite kind of happened, that's where everything kind of clicked for me. That level where I'm like, oh, I understand how to move now. But before that, I was just like beating my head against what they wanted me to do, and I kept coming back to like, I actually enjoyed the Mirror's Edge movement a lot better than this. And I played a lot of it. I put in, you know, probably 10 hours into Mirror's Edge this year, and I was like, man, Titanfall 2 just isn't there. But then once I finally started to understand what it wanted me to do instead of trying to play it like a Mirror's Edge, I had a great time with it.
It's a lot more forgiving than a Mirror's Edge game, I found. You don't need to be lined up perfectly. You kind of stick to the surfaces you need to stick to in the way you need to stick to them without thinking too hard.
But the routes for me were a lot less prevalent. Like in Mirror's Edge, you could go to a point A to B using 8 different paths. In this, there might be like 2 or 3 that are viable.
Well, even most of the time,
but those
8
different
one.
Paths in Mirror's Edge are like all really bland now. I thought, but I understand what you're saying, Griff.
This one, no.
Do you?
Even if there is just one path, it's like that one path will be so exciting because it's usually part of the narrative of the level. There's a lot going on around that single path. So maybe you're scaling the side of a frickin' warship, or you're in the middle of like a factory that's building a test, like a nuclear test site, and you're in one of the houses that are being built as it's going through. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Yeah, it doesn't overstay its welcome. It's an incredible game. And then going to the multiplayer, I have had a great time playing it because picking the class of the Titan, you know, leveling that up and getting the new abilities, like the leveling up system hasn't really hooked me in previous first-person shooters. In this game, there's just something right about how it's designed. I don't think it's anything special. It just kind of makes sense where, you know, if you do things in a match, you get merit points, and those merit points build up to your level. It's not like you get 50 points for shooting a guy. It's, did you win the match? You get 1 point. Did you arbitrarily do a good job? You get 1 point. Did you call down your Titan? You get another point. Did you shoot a guy with your gun? You get another point. And, you know, there's micro leveling within each of those, and then the big macro level pushes you to the big next level, which then will increase the difficulty. But I like to play the new mode, which is Bounty Hunt. So if you're a person like me who's not incredible at first-person shooters and competitive play like that, you can just do the objectives where it's like, in this match, you need to go kill these grunts and mop these points and then put these points in this bank after everything is done. or you can be an asshole and just sit there and wait for people to run into the bank and try and pick them off and steal their money and put it in the bank. And I have been on top of the leaderboards in this game almost every time I play, which is weird for me.
We all know you suck, too.
Yeah. Like, so, real bad. I don't understand. Like, it's just something for me that jives well, and I love it.
So, Griff, I'm actually really curious about this leveling up thing. So, when you level up and you're gaining new abilities for your Titan loadout, are these abilities that you have in the single player that they just strip out when you start the multiplayer?
Different from the previous Titanfall, you would have one like Titan, and then you'd have different weapons for it, and you could get like it has a different primary, a secondary, or this weird thing that lets you shoot poison or electric smoke. In this, you have kind of like loadouts where you say this Titan has this special gun with this special secondary ability and this tertiary and whatever the next one would be ability. And this is locked. You cannot make any changes to this. That's the single-player campaign. They then take that into the multiplayer and say, okay, this is what you get. You get your Titan that has the sniper rifle and that has, like, things that anchor people to the ground and that can fly. And then when you upgrade it, now your anchors will do damage. Or you get the ability to explode and cause a massive amount of damage to people around you. And, you know, it's not like fundamentally changing the Titan that you're playing as. It just adds on those little tweaks that kind of change that play style.
Gotcha. You might want to, you're getting pretty robot-y, right, Jeff?
Yeah, but I'm still following him. Okay. You know, I think it's just easier to keep him on the line.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Cool.
All right.
It sounds exciting to me. Say, let me ask you a similar question to last time. If this game were, let's say, $29.96 for Black Friday, just throw a number out there, do you guys think it'd be a worthwhile purchase?
Yes.
I mean, I would pay that money, but I don't know if you would.
You don't know if I would. So what a...
I mean, you have an aversion to first-person shooters, and this one is that... And I mean, I think it is like as good as a what's the overhyped thing? Half-Life in that sort of quality.
Oh,
like,
wow.
I think it is. Okay. It is right up there with like a Wolfenstein, like some of my favorite things in the last, you know, couple of years. So I love it, but I don't know if it's gonna do it for you, Jeff, to be like, yep, I'm gonna engage in this fast-paced action first-person shooter that is very, you know, shooty.
I mean, I did play Killzone, but that wasn't a portable.
Nope, that's so that's
rules,
totally different.
The rules didn't apply.
Right.
Okay, I'll think about it. It's definitely on my radar. Griffin, since neither of us have touched this, and maybe this won't take too long, how did it compare to Call of Duty Infinite for you?
Thank you for asking. Am I real bad on my audio right now? Would it be more beneficial if I just hung up and redialed?
Conceivably.
Yeah, for me, definitely.
I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
Okay, be right back after the show.
Alrighty. Jamie, you want to talk Owlboy while he's gone?
Okay, I'm back.
Owlboy.
Oh, God, he's back so quick. We were going to talk about all kinds of things you don't know, Griffin.
Yeah,
we
at this point, I mean...
We talked about Owlboy, the election, we covered a lot of ground.
So, my internet problems. I went and upgraded my internet package and got some new equipment. So
you upgraded your package and got some new equipment?
Yeah, baby. It's just like, call me Mr. Machamp because I'm looking fresh to death. So this bottleneck cannot be on my side anymore. We are killing it here.
Nice.
But just thank you for asking about Call of Duty Infinite because I think it ties in very nicely with Titanfall. The easy comparison is to say it's not as good of a game. Call of Duty Infinite is not as good as Titanfall.
But it has Kit Harington.
I don't know what that is.
You don't,
he's from Game of Thrones.
You don't know what a Kit Harington is?
No, I don't watch...
Don't worry about
you
it.
Guys don't know what Snapchat spectacles are. You don't know what Kit Harington... Ugh, go on.
It has dragons in it, so therefore I don't like it. So, the cool things that Call of Duty Infinite does is separating from kind of the Call of Duty path. Instead of a linear story that they're telling where you're like, I'm running down this street shooting guys, you have an open world space map where you can jump around from location to location, mission to mission, and you're kind of like just running, you know, dogfights here in space, or you're going to board this ship and blow it up, and it's all within, it's kind of like a 24 vibe where you're all within the same, you know, hour of invasion or day of invasion, and you're doing these kind of guerrilla warfare strikes on this invading force, mm-hmm. and then, you know, there's also the big missions on the map that you don't have to do right away. And kind of the crazy thing is, it just, the game never ends. Like, you're like, oh, well, I guess here's the big finish where everybody goes and dies. Nope. Okay, we're still doing this. We're still going. Everybody's still here. It's still dying. Okay, here we go. This has to be the last mission. There's nobody left alive. Okay, we're finally all dead. Thank God. The mission, it's all over.
That is very odd.
It is. It is odd. And it's, you know, it's a different tone than Call of Duty has taken before, where you're not just kind of the grunt on the front lines. You're an ace pilot who has been made commander of the ship. Therefore, you have the ability to, you know, design where we're going next and kind of leading those missions. And you're also like this super amazing foot soldier. So, yes, it is kind of stupid, you know, wish fulfillment fantasy stuff. But it then takes it to another level where they're like, you're the commander. Let's deal with the things that being a commander has to what that kind of a mentality would be in this kind of warfare. And it's new to be in those shoes in a Call of Duty game, so it does that surprisingly well, and in a really kind of dour, uncomfortable way too. The setting is space. There are points when you're like, I'm shooting people on the ground, and then you're like, send me my spaceship, and they fly the spaceship down to you, and you get in your spaceship and you fly in space, and then you have like fighting guys in space in a spaceship, and then you get out of your spaceship and you're jumping around in space with your space boots, with shooting dudes in zero gravity and like scorpion grappling hooking, killing guys. It is a bonkers game that is unlike any Call of Duty ever before, but it just feels kind of sluggish. It just kind of feels like it isn't doing anything. Even though it's doing all those unique things, it doesn't do them as well as something like Titanfall is doing with its as ironic as it sounds, like, finally Call of Duty is doing something more open-ended, and now this game by the Call of Duty people come in and eat their lunch on a more linear story. So that's pretty funny.
I mean, open-ended, is that even a good thing? as we've debated time and time again.
Well, I think it is. I think it is good in this regard. Like, if Titanfall 2 didn't exist, or Doom didn't exist this year, Call of Duty Infinite would be a fascinating beast. Like, and I played a little bit of the multiplayer, and it's Call of Duty, you know, you spawn, some guy shoots you in the back. It just didn't jive with me like Titanfall did. I played it for maybe 2 hours or so, and then I did the zombies, which is cool, way cooler, way easier than other zombies before. But I don't really have much more to say about that, because I think that time is better well spent with Titanfall, and I know we got Jamie for a short amount of time, so let's move on.
Okay. What else we got on this big old list? You want to do Builders real quick, Griffin?
How much let's that knock that play? Out. I played about an hour and a half until Jen saw me playing, and she's like, Griff's playing Minecraft. Hey, Hunter, Griff's playing Minecraft. Like, he's playing Minecraft. And I'm like, no, it's not what it looks like. And then I took it out and I threw it in the garbage.
It's a very different game.
It's totally different. It's not Minecraft. But guess what? It's Minecraft.
It's Minecraft, but it's pretty fun.
With a story, somehow.
It's Minecraft with a story. It's got some charm to it.
All right, well, go for it.
I have nothing else to say about
it. Is
it
like Dark Cloud? Is it like, what are you doing?
No, it's just bad.
It's got some quality of life stuff that Minecraft doesn't have. Like, it has an easier approach to crafting. It's just less tedious than Minecraft in a lot of ways. And it's got some light story elements, which kind of give it a little bit of a driving force, which are kind of cute. There's some Dragon Quest homages in there, which are fun.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I don't have a lot to say either. I played it for about an hour as well before I moved on to other shit. So I just wanted to touch on the fact that we both played it and then promptly abandoned it. But I might come back to it at some point.
No interest whatsoever.
It's on the Vita. It's all that matters.
Oh, interesting.
the Vita will never die.
Not much to say there. Carrying right along, what should we get to next?
I can take, well, let's see here. I think, Jamie, we can knock out 100-foot robot golf in the same aspect that we did with just Dragon Quest Builders.
Yeah.
100-foot robot golf is a... It's a cool, neat thing that is great that exists.
But it's not very fun.
And it's... I had a good time playing it once I found out how to play it. It just took a long time because there's no narration, or there's no, you know, instruction. I love the anime vibes. I love the, you know, the McElroy Brothers commentary is fantastic. The stupid, stupid anime story that it has is great. But if you don't like playing bad golf games, you might not like playing 100-foot robot golf.
Yeah. It's just that there's not, I mean, it can be fun, but there's just not a whole lot there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a shame. Yeah, it seemed to get a pretty tepid response, so I'm not surprised to hear that from you guys. But, Griffin, I know you were into it at first, or at least you tweeted to that effect.
I was. I love the anime bull honky that comes along with it.
Yeah, that grabs you pretty hard. That's great. I mean, it's really... They somehow nail it.
Yep.
So it's got a lot of charm in kind of its story and its goofiness, but the actual minute-to-minute gameplay kind of sucks.
It leaves you wanting more.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it sucks.
The whole package is like, man, this could have been a better game with, like, another year and gajillion dollars thrown at it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But as it is, it's funny and silly, and it's kind of like a dumb sports game where you're like, let's have some beers and play 100-foot robot golf, you know? It's like Sports Friends, but less refined.
Yeah, I mean,
I was going to say, Sports Friends is actually fun.
Yeah.
Well, this game's fun, too. It's just, it doesn't have the refinement, so it would be like, we'll play two matches. Great.
Yeah.
And then you've seen all you're going to see. Yeah. Yeah, I got you. I got you.
You get your fill. I haven't deleted it. Like, I've come back to it a couple times, but it's just, it's exactly like Griff said. You get one or two matches in, you're like, okay, time to play, I don't know, Nuclear Throne or something.
Mm-hmm. It's also worth to, it's worth might be worth it to get to the end and play the last level because it's hilarious, but it's worth it. I guess it's not a long game. It maybe took me 5-6 hours at most to get five
okay
to get through
okay.
it.
All right, fair enough. Yeah. And that was what, like $20 or something?
Yeah, like 15.
Okay, Black Friday sale numbers, what should I pay for it?
10
99 cents.
Between 5 and
well,
10.
Well, speaking of 99 cents, I picked up Deus Ex Go for the iDevices.
Oh, cool.
For 99 cents.
What do you think?
I have only played probably less than an hour of it, and I can, having not played Hitman Go or Lara Croft Go, Tomb Raider Go, this seems like the weakest of the three.
I've heard that. Having not played the other two, I don't know how you get there, but I've heard that it's not very good.
It's something, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Once again, it suffers from a lack of tutorial and lack of really any motivation to keep playing it.
So I thought Tomb Raider or Lara Croft Go had... I mean, those games don't really tutorialize at all, right, Jamie?
I thought Lara Croft Go was great, and it doesn't tutorialize at all, and but I feel like they do a great job of still explaining to you contextually what to do. Mm.
Yeah, it's very much a learn-as-you-play kind of game. But the thing that I thought Lara Croft Go did so well was it actually gave you a reason to care, even if the reason was, like, get the trinkets.
Hmm. Well, yeah, there's, like, a kind of a story going on, like, Yeah.
Whereas I thought Hitman Go was very...
Are the trinkets the fractured remnants of her moral fiber and subconscious or unconscious?
No, it's just like you're like exploring. There's visual storytelling in like you explore a tomb. Like it's you're in a space. You are traversing the space you're getting from point A to point B. I felt that Hitman, it was all these kind of little self-contained kind of cold board games that didn't have any real like feeling or heart to them.
Yeah.
So that kind of turned me off about Hitman, but what I loved about Lara Croft Go again was that kind of sense of being in a place. Is Deus Ex more towards not being in a place, not progressing?
Totally.
Okay, then I won't care about it.
Yeah, I mean, if you're doing quote unquote missions, and it's not what it doesn't like capture the essence of what Deus Ex is, and it doesn't.
Can you
even
shoot snakes?
No,
I don't care. Lara Croft shoots so many snakes.
So many.
Yeah. No snakes.
I don't know why handguns are the best weapon for killing a snake, but apparently they are. Just bust out the Desert Eagles.
And spiders, too. Giant-ass spiders. Yes.
Never Doesn't forget she about backflip the over the spiders and kill them?
From time to time, as you do.
As you do. That's true. All right. Good to know.
Yeah. How much should you pay for this?
Free.
29 cents. I would say free is not a bad option.
All right.
Or rent. Rent it. Just rent it. Just Gamefly. Just Gamefly Deus Ex Go.
Is it on Steam? Can I buy it and return it within the window?
Probably.
Right. I thought about doing that with... Oh, so I guess I can say real quick, or should we just talk about Dishonored 2 now, speaking of Steam returns?
You returned it?
No. Yeah, let's talk about Dishonored 2.
I did not return it, but actually, so, you know, I guess it's weird to jump in talking about the graphics, but whatever. So, I'm playing on PC, and I wasn't having any issues with the graphics at all, really. I thought it was running really great. And then they patched it to try and make it better, and then all of a sudden, I'm like running, it's like, goes to crap, and I don't know what to do now. It's still playable, and I actually played more with the patch and it being crappy than I did before. But, yeah, that it is kind of a hot mess on PC.
Oh.
So you didn't return it? You still got it?
I did not return it. I was tempted because it really really took a turn, but no, I kept going and I made sure I got to I wanted to get to an outside area before I returned it to see if it really crashed when I was outside, which it did not
sure.
do. So
that's good.
Yeah, I know Griff, you're down on it. I'm not very far, but I really am liking it. I don't think it's going to be a great game. I don't even think it'll make my game of the year list necessarily based on what I've seen so far. But
you like Dishonored quite a bit, right, Jamie?
Yeah, I loved it.
But so what is it about the sequel that makes you feel like it's just not particularly
the
not
way
worthy?
The story is presented in the first segment of the game does not bode well for the story, you know, throughout the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I feel like...
I never really liked the story of Dishonored that much.
The movement towards the, impetus as to why you're playing this game and in this situation is so sudden that it's almost gross.
Did
jarring. We miss something? Did I miss the webcomic for this? Why am I not being eased into this?
Exactly. They could have taken their time and really, fleshed out the world a little bit more. Instead, there's so much world building going on in really annoying places like audio logs and unnecessary books and logs and letters that are just poorly written.
Books you actually have to read with your eyes, not your ears.
Luckily, you don't really have to read them because if there's an important piece of information in them, it'll just save it. And then when you need it, it'll be like, oh, the code to this thing, as you read before, is this. So you don't...
You know what I did?
What?
I stopped picking up books.
But you don't need to actually read them. You can just look at it.
I know.
And then...
That's what I'm saying. It's like, even the code that you are given to unlock the door, it doesn't matter.
Because you can get it open.
I don't even want this. I don't even want this door.
Just nihilism and Dishonored 2.
I find that the actual gameplay is still a lot of fun. I really enjoy it, but I just can't believe that they really... I don't know what they're trying to do with the story. They're trying to somehow both speed it up and make it super streamlined for all these, twitchy 16-year-olds who have no attention span and probably can't...
I mean, if you're doing your let's play, your long play on YouTube, Jamie, do you want to get right into the action? Yeah, of course. You need that. How are you going to get the subscribers?
Gotta get those clicks, man.
Yeah.
I prefer a good solid 5 minutes of exposition for me to mug for the camera and talk really loud, and then when the scenes start playing, I'm like, all right, guys, we're gonna be quiet for this part.
Well,
but
maybe
it can't be longer than
30
seconds
of Five Nights at Freddy's.
Jeff, now that I know what streamers are, what am I going to rail against at this year's PAX / have an existential crisis about while eating chicken fingers?
I don't know. It might be me this time. If I see someone in a pair of Snapchat spectacles, you're going to be like, Jamie, what are these things?
I think you have to worry about the triple I games. The industry that is triple I.
What? Triple I?
It's a triple A budget indie game.
Oh, okay.
I have never heard of that before, but that is very
good. Yeah, I haven't heard that one. That's a good one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, that could be it.
Perhaps.
So Jamie, I kind of gave you my thoughts on Dishonored 2 in some snarky messages, and there's nothing that I find bad about Dishonored. It's not for me. Like, it doesn't hook me. I can appreciate that it is a cool, well fleshed out world. It does neat stuff, but it's just not for me. Like, I'd rather play Deus Ex. It's in a setting that I prefer versus Dishonored, which is kind of steampunky. I hate steampunk. The movement.
How do you hate steampunk?
Because
whatever, man.
I don't wear top hats and monocles and have a job.
I don't.
And don't work at a Renaissance fair.
I was going to say, those things are still incredible.
Steampunk is the worst thing ever created.
I love me a good Renaissance fair.
You're a madman.
But
I think
the world is awesome. There's like space magic whales and weirdness. I think that's...
They're just regular whales.
Yeah, but they like fly. They're flying whales.
No, I think that's Metal Gear that you were playing.
there's enough weirdness to the world, and it's a dark kind of... I like the world, but they don't like the world as much as I do, because they're not, like, giving two shits about actually fleshing it out.
You're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not doing enough to hook me to be like, hey, maybe though you don't like this genre or this setting, there's something in here for you. I also am disgusted by the movement. In a year that we've been treated so well in wonderful first-person shooter movement, this game is a step in the wrong direction, where they're like, we're going to make your character heavy and weighty and, like, uncomfortable, and like they're moving through molasses like a real human, and I'm like, well, that's bad.
It just feels like one of those games that's made in like a generic engine for PC that wasn't optimized for any platform, you know what I mean? Like, it feels like what did they make Firewatch in?
Unity.
It feels like a Unity game.
I was gonna say, it feels kind of like a like an Eastern Bloc game, like where they're like, this is... Russia has never had better movement technology than this. clearly they haven't.
It is weird. It does not feel like a modern game at all. Like, you run into weird things where, you know, you're kind of on some platform and you're thinking to yourself, is this a platform that I'm supposed to be on? Or is this a platform that the game designers never meant for me to ever touch? Like, that kind of feeling?
It sounds like this move to this proprietary engine was a huge mistake on many levels.
I'll tell you the funniest thing with this game, and I think there's a lot of depth to a very simple statement. And I was playing this, and Hunter walks into the room, and he's like, hey, what are you playing? I'm like, oh, it's Dishonored 2. He's like, what do you think? I'm like, it's a lot more of Dishonored 1. He's like, oh, so it's like bad Skyrim. And I'm like, you just nailed it right on the head there. That's it. The combat
like
is bad Skyrim.
Yeah, it does in certain ways feel like Skyrim, and not the good ways, because I love Skyrim.
Huh.
But
weird.
And I'm going to play that on the Switch.
I am not.
No?
No, I'm not going to buy that game.
Why not?
Again.
I'll only do it if we can do multiplayer.
That'd
side
be cool.
By side co-op.
Yeah, after shooting some hoops.
I'll be the left hand, you be the right hand.
All right.
Skyrim in bed, though? Skyrim.
Okay. Should we press onward?
Yeah.
Get
what do you,
the rest of these bad boys, and then finish up for the night?
I think that just Owlboy is the big one on here that I'm curious about. Maybe Thumper too.
Yeah. Let's do Owlboy, Jamie, and then
tell
do
me
about
Owlboy.
What? I love Owlboy. I have not played like a lot of Owlboy, but just the beginning part of that game is amazing.
Yes.
And so unique.
Yeah, you're talking about the tutorial section, basically.
Yes. Mm. And the story aspect of it.
Yeah. And I don't think we should spoil too much about that, but I'll say that Owlboy is a game about a character that basically nobody likes.
Yep.
Everyone just thinks he's a total piece of shit, and he may like actually be a piece of shit. It's not clear.
Yep.
Does that ever make you not want to play the game, or
no? Because he's so earnest and full of heart.
Yeah, like he's like a fuck up, but he wants to be more than a fuck up.
He's a fuck-up, but he might... It's not clear whether he's actually a fuck-up, like, whether the game is going to have him actually just be, like, not good at what he's doing, or whether he is, like, actually the only good person.
Yeah.
And even at the point where I'm at, where a lot of shit has gone down, surprisingly heavy emotional shit in the space of, you know, I don't know, 4 game hours, maybe, it's still not clear what his arc is going to be, but it's a real cool game. It's first of all, it's beautiful. It's pixel art, but it doesn't feel dated. It's got a great sweeping orchestral score. So much attention to detail at every turn. Mm. Really good, like emotional direct, like kind of directed scenes that convey emotion really well.
Uh-huh.
Subtlety in animation. It's just exudes so much polish.
And this is just a platformer with an art style?
Yep.
It's just a platformer with an art style. Okay. No, it's got shades of Zelda, kind of in its dungeon navigation.
Sure.
Maybe, you know, just to throw more words at the wall, Metroidvania. It's definitely like kind of a, you know, explore, find the dungeon and then work your way through the dungeon. There's no items that make the dungeons easier.
Huh.
But they tend to have like themes to them. So in that way, they're kind of Zelda-y. It's good. You know, the first dungeon's pretty straightforward, but the second dungeon was quite long and very interesting. Third dungeon, really tricky and had some light and dark themes going on.
Are you still getting, like, an item that then makes the dungeon passable, or...?
No. Well, the items that you get are sidekicks, actually.
Oh.
So you get sidekick characters that can accompany you, and they have special abilities that do make traversing the dungeons easier. Huh. I just have gotten the final sidekick, who is offering me some additional traversal options.
Cool.
But in terms of item upgrades, yeah, I mean, there's not a ton of them. But what's there is perfectly done.
Yeah.
And all of the sidekicks feel necessary. They all feel unique. The gameplay is really fun. The difficulty curve is great, I think. I'm just having a great time with it. It's a real fun, real solid game, and it's, you know, it's a passion project that's, you know, it took like 9 years to make, and it is,
wow,
it's definitely worth your time.
Do you control directly all of the sidekicks?
So your character, this is the interesting piece about this, Jamie, and I appreciate you mentioning this. So you're the owl. His name is Otis. But the sidekicks, you don't actually control them at all. You pick them up, and you can aim them after you pick them up. They're all gunners of sorts. But you... When you release them, you can throw them and you can have them do things in the environment, but you can't move them after you release them. So it's kind of this weird indirect style of play where you have to grab the thing that you need to, like, use to kill enemies and stuff. Like, your character can't really do that much damage on his own. He has to be holding someone else and firing weapons off of him. So it's kind of an interesting little quirk in terms of how you deal with enemies, how you deal with navigation, kind of managing times when you have to be holding your characters versus when you have to be putting them down for other things. There's some interesting stuff that kind of comes up with that whole mechanic.
So when you're holding them, you control like where they're shooting, for example. But when you drop them, they are kind of in control?
No, when you drop them, they're passive. You can drop them in places to make things happen. But once they're down, they don't do anything. They are reliant entirely upon you.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah, and early on you get an ability to press a button to make them teleport into your arms, basically. And you can switch between them on the fly by rolling the mouse wheel.
Gotcha.
But yeah, in terms of actual control, they're only useful when you're holding them. And, you know, there are times when you need to not be holding them because you need to be holding other shit or you need to be barehanded to do something. Mm. So there's a lot of interesting mechanics built around that.
I just can't wait to get more of the story because it does something that I've always wondered about, which is, like, Zelda always plays with and flirts with, like, a real feeling of, like, loneliness and being vulnerable, especially when you're, like, young Link and, like, I don't know, in Majora's Mask, like, when you get turned into a freaking Deku guy. Mm. And, like, that's kind of terrifying. Like, you're this kid, and the first thing that the game does is turn you into, like, a monster. And you're...
Scrub.
And tell you that you won't unbe a monster. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, like, this is almost like a Zelda game, but the first time that someone gave Zelda a sword and he swung it, told him that he really sucked at it, and that he'd never be good.
Pretty much, yeah. And you know, even as I get farther in the game, it's still not clear that I'll ever be good. Like, I still feel up against it. And I think something that happens in Zelda is your character just gets, you know, Link gets stronger and stronger, and he becomes the hero. But I haven't become the hero yet. I'm just like a guy who's fighting against this sort of, like, oppressive world where bad things are happening around me.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting in that way. And definitely that kind of theme of trying to do well and not quite making it does pop up throughout the game.
Cool.
So
interesting.
And yeah, there's and again, without getting into spoilers, there's some layers that get added onto that in terms of other characters and motivations and things like that, which have even further fleshed that out and make me excited to see the story through. So
cool.
It's great. It's definitely, I think it's 25, which is a bit much to ask for, you know, a game that's maybe only, you know, I don't know, 8 hours and pixel art style. You know, I think people don't expect to pay that much for something like that in this day and age, but I'm loving it. I mean, it is such a polished game that I think it's definitely worth your time. So
cool.
That's all I gotta say about Owlboy.
Nice.
Yeah. Anything else we need to get into here?
Jamie, do you want to do a quick hit on Thumper before we wrap things up?
I love it.
What is it exactly?
It's like a weird roller coaster, and you just basically turn and jump the car off the tracks sometimes, and that's it. And it's really intense and trippy. And the music is cool and like industrial, and I think it's a unique kind of fun thing that keeps you interested with essentially like just a few mechanics, which is always fun.
Interesting.
Hmm. And sorry, this is something you could play without VR?
Yeah.
That I don't care about it.
This will only cost me what, $15 to $20 to play, not $15 to $20K?
No, it won't. It will not. I think I even got it on Steam because it was even cheaper at one point. Yeah, it's right now it's $20 on Steam. Mm. If you like Nine Inch Nails and you like
love it,
and you like, I don't know, Rez, then this is probably something that you should check out. Or even if you like only one of those things.
I do love Rez. Yeah. I kind of like Nine Inch Nails.
You like Nine Inch Nails.
I love Slave Scream.
It's
Slave
cool.
Slave Scream!
It's really intense, right, to play. It's kind of nerve-wracking. It's not something that you sit back and kind of like enjoy. It's something about the visuals combined with the music, combined with the intensity of
I'm looking at the aesthetic. The aesthetic looks awesome. It looks intense.
Yeah, it's it kind of gets your like blood pumping. It's not the kind of thing you play to like relax before bed. Oh my god! Though I should say before I didn't put this on the doc because I
late.
Completely
nope.
forgot about it.
Gotta wait for next time.
Damn it! I got the Daydream VR, which is amazing. It's much better than the Samsung VR Gear VR. In a lot of ways, it's better in terms of image quality, which is surprising. And it's better in terms of games because it comes with a built-in controller, which is so important.
Oh, yeah, that little doodad.
Because with the Samsung Gear VR, if you want to play a game, either you have to have a Bluetooth controller, which, you know, the developers don't really plan for because it doesn't come with the system. So why? They can't really bet on you having one. So you have to use the stupid little controller on the side of the Gear VR itself. So you're like touching your temple the entire time you're playing a game.
So you feel like Cyclops from the X-Men?
Exactly. It's terrible.
Okay.
This comes with an actual little controller, which you use like a Wiimote when you're navigating through menus. And then you can turn it sideways and use it like a controller. And it's surprisingly good, both the Wiimote aspect and actually just like the little circular touchpad that you can use as like a D-pad and then the two buttons. It's actually it's a decent little controller. But the best part about it is that everyone who gets a Daydream VR is going to have this controller so people can actually make games for it. I played one game called Hunter's Gate, which was like just the highest rated game that they had, and it was like not a lot of money, so I bought it. And it is surprisingly fun and polished and awesome and runs great. It's like a twin stick shooter, but you like a third person twin stick shooter. But the stick that you would use to shoot is your gaze, which works amazingly, actually.
Interesting.
Super good use of VR, actually. I would recommend if you have $70 or if you just. I would recommend picking up a Daydream VR.
Does it work with most phones?
Or no. What's the deal with it? Right now, the only...
does it work with iPhone 7?
No, it does not. I think that
does
the,
anything.
The Nexus and the Pixel are your ones that work with it so far, the Nexus and the Pixel, but I think that they're trying to get most other phone manufacturers on board, and I think most will be, according to, I think I was reading a piece on Android Please or something. I think that you can pretty much count on everyone except Samsung being on board with this
thing. Being on board.
So I think that actually games in VR have a bright future on Android, which I'm happy about.
Potentially. I think they haven't really cracked that market yet. So in terms of, you know, figuring out a way to get VR to mass market, so maybe it's on your mobile phone.
If anything's going to be it, this is going to be it. In the Gear VR, for example... There are extra steps. You have to have the phone plugged into the VR unit, and then you have to close something on top of it. And because of that, you can't have a case on your phone when you put your phone in the unit. And and also you're relying on Oculus's, you know, marketplace and all this stuff. There's a wheel that you have to use to tweak your view and make sure that text is sharp. And every time I would put on my Gear VR, text wouldn't be sharp, and I'd have to spend 15 minutes like getting the optics right. In this, you don't plug it in. You can have a case on your phone.
I think the real question that we all need to know, though, is how's the porn?
I don't think that exists.
You know what that means?
That is going to die.
The porn is good.
Your dream weaver is dead, man. Your daydreamer is dead.
Seems like a pretty closed marketplace so far. I don't even think there's like an internet browser for it.
Yep, that thing's fucked.
You need to learn how to sideload, Jamie. You know what I mean by sideloading?
Docking?
Is that like a porn
docking.
Thing?
Docking is a porn thing. Well, I don't know if it's a porn thing, but
it's a thing that you and I do.
Yeah, all the time. All right. Does that? I got to call this bad boy because it's getting real late.
Yeah,
definitely. You guys good? Have we done all the games?
We have done it. We did it. That was good. We got everything out of the way. It is almost the end of the year, so that is great. There's a few games left on the horizon. We got Final Fantasy coming up. Everybody's favorite Steep will be here later. And the little engine that could, The Last Guardian is on.
Aww,
its last legs, man. Or whatever.
So excited for it.
Yep. Coming out early December when all good games come out.
Non-believer. Death to the non-believer.
So undoubtedly we won't podcast again until, I don't know, mid to late December, if not even later than that, being realistic. But I would love to do it sooner. I think in the meantime, there's just a few things, since there's no news, that I want to leave you guys with. One, it's been 10 years since the Wii U came out, or the Wii came out.
Great.
That's scary.
2006, around this time.
I have savings. You know how savings bonds have 30-year maturity? Mm-hmm. I have savings bonds that are maturing.
They're maturing.
And I'm old. It's terrible.
That's adorable.
Yep.
Oh God. Okay. Yeah. That's.
What else you got, Griff?
Yeah. Lay it on me.
Some more bombs.
I wasn't really expecting a lot of them, but I just checked my playtime for Pokemon. 24 hours already.
Nice.
Jesus Christ, man.
Hell
I'm
yeah.
Impressed.
Get some.
I'll try to get some in tomorrow before Jessica's family shows up because I don't have work. But we'll see.
Right on. Other thing that I was just going to leave everybody with was a message of hope, and that is, you know, even though this year has been surprisingly turbulent and weird in these last couple weeks, it's been an awesome year for video games. So if there's one thing to hold on to, it's that. And there's some cool shit that came out this year. There's some real just mellow, awesome games. So I cannot wait until we get to the end of it and we can have a discussion and rekindle those passions for those things that came out through the course of 2016 that were freaking cool.
I agree.
I hope that when we do it, it'll be hugely rejuvenating and just wash all the bad away.
Oh, and to bring you down before I leave, Jackbox Party Pack 3 is not great.
Yeah, I've seen it being played. It doesn't look very fun.
Trivia Murder Party is great.
Oh, what they do?
Trivia Murder Party is awesome.
How do you fuck up Quiplash?
Here's the secret. Quiplash wasn't great.
You shut your goddamn mouth.
Quiplash is not great.
Nope.
It is not the
nope,
best.
You're wrong.
You were like
nope,
the original evangelist.
Of yeah, totally. But I never loved Quiplash.
Huh.
Fibbage.
You're wrong.
Incredible.
Nope.
Alright. Well, the other Bidiots is the secret best game ever created ever.
I don't know, man. But yeah, no, I definitely watched some of those games being played, and they seem kind of bad. Trivia Murder Party seems okay.
I bought it. Trivia Murder Party is good, very good, definitely the best on the list. But the other ones, there's, you know, it just doesn't fill the roster up. Like, there's no super weird, quirky one. Maybe I'll give it another shot in the coming month. But hey, go play some more Jackbox Party Pack 2.
Yeah, that's where it's at.
If you're feeling blue,
maybe I will.
Will do.
Yeah, and be safe on those Black Fridays, everybody.
Because I'm going. Well, I don't know if I'm going, but I'm
you going?
Shopping.
Are you going? You bugging out? You gonna bug out on this Black Friday?
I've kind of got the bug. I kind of want to do it.
What are you gonna get, Jamie?
I don't want to say.
How many Nintendo retros are you gonna go buy?
You'll just have to send it to us.
We'll just have to guess really loudly until you say yes.
Yeah, do that.
Lego Millennium Falcon.
4K television.
Yes.
New guitar.
Jeff got it.
Oh,
more.
God damn it, Jamie. God damn it.
A
are
small
you
one.
Me? You
a
too,
small
no.
one.
Too fucking well.
Why do you hate
too
yourself?
A small one.
Well.
But I could use this
just
like
a 60 inch.
What? Yeah. No.
Just a 60 inch. Is it gonna, it's going to go great with your new PS4 Pro.
Another water cooler.
Actually,
you know, it's only $360.
I actually do not want a PS4 Pro, but I do want one of those. And the small ones are so cheap, it's stupid. Have you looked at some of these deals for the smaller ones?
Nope.
It's
nope.
I know, they're like $600. It's
no,
ridiculous.
No, half that.
For a 4K television? That's not terrible?
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
63.
Are they made in America?
No, made in Korea.
Then I don't want it.
Samsung 6300 40 inch is
that's crazy.
Right now like around 300.
That's crazy. I still wouldn't do it though.
Yeah. Not interested.
No, not yet.
I mean, I don't.
Why? Maybe someday, yeah. I don't know.
Not realistically, but it's tempting.
Yeah,
he's coming home with one.
The only way you should do it is if you get an NES retro piece of crap and you put that in your 4K TV to just make the worst experience for your life.
Just the chunkiest pixels. Uh-huh. I love me some chunky pixels, though. I have a big old... Well,
a lot of these TVs
have
upscalers in them, so that's the thing. So if you plug your frickin' Switch into one of these modern 4K TVs, you're getting 4K.
Guys, when you plug the Switch in, does that song just start playing?
Mm-hmm. Actually, when you plug it in, four bros just step out from behind your TV with their mini controllers ready to go to town with you.
Just to start playing NBA 2K.
Yeah. Did you guys see the thing? Jeff, you probably shared this with me. Did you see the thing where it's the basketball kids and they're reacting the way they were to the basketball thing, but it's just gay sex and Mass Effect 2?
Yes! It's Mass Effect, yes! yeah, it's pretty good.
It's so good. Did I show you the one where it's that girl coming to the party with her Switch and they're just like, Karen.
Not again.
This is a party. Why did you bring your goddamn video game?
We're having a conversation.
That one hit a little bit too real for me.
Too close to
that
home.
That one made me feel a little uncomfortable. I really empathize with Karen there.
Oh, man.
I don't have any other bombs or anything like that, but yeah, we'll re-catch up before the end of the year here, and hopefully everybody will have some time to pick away at some of the things on their lists, and then we'll do the old discussion of what was the best.
Would love to.
Sounds like a plan.
All right.
Okay. Right,
wait. I know what my game of the year is.
Okay.
I know what my game of the year is.
All right, good.
Dragon Age.
Legendary.
Jamie, I'm with you.
All right.
Have you finished Dragon Age, Jamie?
Yes.
Oh, I have not.
I actually was thinking about playing it again. I'm derailing. I'm ending this podcast right now. So bad.
I'm stopping this.
All right, guys.
This is, you guys are monsters.
It's over. We'll be right back.